Good to be at Coos Springs this morning to see all of you. It's my first visit here. First time I've ever been here at Coos Springs. I know you all believe that. I was coming here, I guess, before I was ever born of my mother. It's always been a blessing to come to Coos Springs, especially when we're in love and peace and unity to one another. This morning, for a short time, I didn't try to sing either this morning, Brother Philip. I'm kind of got a little something. I don't know what it is. And about everybody you see has got something going around. But there is a verse of Scripture I've been thinking about in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, where Paul told Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God. For he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel." He said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." I often hear people telling of their experiences in life. And you know, sometimes when I hear people tell their experiences, it just melts me. I was somewhere last night, not far from here, listening to people sing that I guess as far as our belief and their belief would be altogether different. But you know, they love God. I don't believe you have to know all the truth to love God. And you don't have to know all the truth for God to love you. You don't have to know everything in this life for God to love you. I heard a statement one time, in fact, it's in my house. It's what you learn after you know it all that does you good. Nobody wants to be around to know it all. But I love to be around God who knows it all. All things open innate before the eyes of him of whom we have to do. So Paul said, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." I was thinking about this morning, you don't hear a lot about Jesus in your daily walk. You just think about, in your travels and meeting people, how often do they say anything about the Lord? How many times do you hear people say, "God is so good to me"? I remember the other day, after I heard Sam preach at Pleasant Plains, the day before Thanksgiving, he preached about being thankful and the terrible consequences of not being thankful. And it made me think about all that day. I was going around saying, "God is so good. He's so good to me." You ever get up in the morning with a song? You just sing it all day. Maybe you have a verse of Scripture on your mind. Maybe you have somebody on your mind. Maybe you're thinking about God all day. Maybe you're praying without ceasing, praying not to faint. You just enjoy talking about Jesus. Not in a boastful way and saying God's better to me than he is to anybody else. I think God's good to all of us. I believe God has been good to America. God's good to his people. God's been good to us here at Coos Springs. We have fairly large congregations most of the time. And we ought to thank God for that. Amen. But you know what? Where there's just a few gathered, they love God just like the rest of us. And the gospel is the same. I don't believe we ought to be ashamed of Jesus. We ought not to be ashamed on his cause of blessed to speak his name. Now, you don't want to go around just on the street corners and just screaming out your testimony to everybody. I don't know who loves God and who God don't love. Let me see how I said that. I know God loves his people. And we love him, John said, because he first loved us. You can't love God until God loves you. Somewhere the other day I was having lunch and I was sitting down eating with this man that I know. I don't know him that well, but I know him. And I said to him, some of the things I've heard of lately and read, you know, God doesn't love everybody. In fact, the first thing I said was, "I don't really know your belief." And I said that he didn't comment, so I just shut up. I don't know if he knew God doesn't love everybody or not. I want to tell you, if you want to turn folks off, you say that somewhere. People believe God loves everybody and everybody has a chance to go to heaven. Well, if it's by chance, I'll guarantee you I'm going to miss it. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I reckon that's taking a chance. Someone said, would you buy one if you knew you could win? You better believe it. I don't even know that I would. Maybe I'll wake you up by saying it that way. I want to tell you something. I don't need millions and millions. I may already have more than I need of this world's goods. Maybe there's some people this morning who's not here because they don't have time to come to church on Saturday morning. What a shame. Somebody said, have you ever stayed away from church because you had something else to do? I guess so. But I was ashamed of myself. There is nothing as important as remembering God. Remember that dying thief said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, I'll never hear your prayer. I'm so glad Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's a good thing to give thanks unto God, folks. Are you concerned this morning about you have remembered him too much? You have done too much for his people, for his kingdom? When's the last time you went to see somebody that's sick and shut in? Was they glad to see you? Or did you all go in boasting and bragging about what all you've done for God? First thing you did when you walked in, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Do you want to know him? If you don't, I can tell you all about how to know him. If you're not saved, just see me before you leave. I've heard people say that. I'm going to tell you the text I read this morning. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? He did the saving. I did all the sinning. Have y'all ever been concerned about your disobedience to God? I am. Somebody said, I thought you wasn't what you professed to be. Maybe I'm not, but maybe you're not either. I tell you one thing, I could get a little closer to him. You know what Jesus said, draw nine to me and I'll draw nine to you. Oh, I've been thinking about that all week. Draw nine to God. Tell you something else I've been thinking a whole lot more about than I used to. Is the other side. Somebody said, what makes you think of that more than you used to? Because when I was sweet 16, I didn't think about death much. My brother Hezekiah told me here a while back, my mother was about 80 years of age, and he asked her, said, do you ever think about death? She said, I don't ever think about it. What a blessing. I reckon, maybe she thought about it in some way, but I don't reckon she was concerned and worried about it. I'm not either. I want to tell you, I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. But I'm not just wringing my hands and screaming and having a raging fit about it. I want to tell you, we got a lively hope of a better country. The apostle said he has begotten us again under the lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I guess when Jesus died on that cross, they thought it was all over. No, it wasn't. He's going in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and nights. That grave can't hold Jesus and it can't hold you. And you know what I believe about death? When you die, your spirit and soul goes right on then to paradise. That's what Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, not after 1,000 years. One man told me one time, if you don't get saved this time, you'll have 1,000 years next time. I figured if I miss it this time, I'll miss it next. If it left up to me, I will. Somebody said, all you got to do is believe. Yeah, but you can't believe until you're born again. Somebody said, how do you get born again? I'm going to tell you, God borns us again. Amen. That verse I read this morning reminded me of John 5:25. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's not talking about the dead in the cemeteries. He's talking about those who are dead in trespasses and in sin. In John 5:25, but I'm glad he didn't stop there. You skip two verses and he said, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in thee which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth. They that have done good in the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil in the resurrection of damnation. Nobody's going to escape. And you know what? Jesus is going to come back with a shout and put the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left hand. This is your left hand, isn't it? The right hand. Somebody told me one time, they stopped to ask somebody about how to get somewhere, and they said, you go down here to your left. She said, this is my left hand, isn't it? I still know my left hand and my right hand. I believe God knows His, don't you? He knows His sheep and He calls them by name. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Aren't you glad of that? But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know what the gospel does? What if I told you this morning you can't go to heaven unless you hear the gospel? Would you believe that? I wouldn't. Most of God's people, I don't imagine, is going to ever hear a true gospel sermon. But brother, I have heard a many sermon in my life that fed my soul. I've heard a lot of them right lately. Somebody said, "Do you remember everything they said?" No, but I know it was good while I was eating the gospel. I just do remember what I had for breakfast this morning. You want to know? It was good. Same thing I had when I was a little boy. You think I'm going to turn up my nose at something I've been eating all my life if I'm hungry? There's a cat at my house. This don't have a thing to do with the gospel. But I have spoiled that cat rotten. If you want him, you can have him. I don't know if it's a female or a male. Every time I go out the back door, every morning that cat is sitting there. You know what he's thinking? I'm going to bring in the leftovers. And this morning, I was in a hurry and I didn't. But he was sitting right there. I want to tell you, I need to be sitting here waiting for God to feed me in His own way. Oh, I know I got a lot to do and I need to be doing it, but whether I do my work or not, He's going to do His work. I'm talking about when it comes to the salvation of His people. He gives eternal life to His sheep. Somebody said, that's the reason I give 10% of my income to the church. I know some folks might could give more than 10%. Some can't even give 10%. Did you know this morning if you can give anything, you are blessed? It's more blessed to give than receive. You know what I think that probably means? If you can give, you are blessed. Here's somebody who can't give. They're not as blessed as you are because you can give. I tell you what, I want to encourage you all here at Coos Springs and just say thank you. Y'all support this place. Somebody, I passed by here last night, a little after 7 o'clock. Did you know somebody was still here cleaning up the outside? When the last time y'all ever said the person who cleans up out here? I know he's my nephew, and I didn't know I was going to say this morning. This may not be the gospel. But how many times have you ever said to him, thank you for keeping this place up? Oh, but we pay him. Yeah, I reckon so. But I tell you what, I have thought he does a lot sometimes that he might not charge a whole lot for. These leaves, I tell you folks, these leaves have been, they've been falling. Somebody's got to get them up. What if somebody don't get them out of the cemetery? Wouldn't be long before you couldn't even see your folks' grave out there. I'm going to tell you, I want to keep encouraging you all to keep on keeping on. How many of you all remember Bill Powell? I know our pastor don't, not the Bill Powell I remember. I used to hear him on the radio, used to hear him on the television. You know what he would always say? When he'd wind up his weather and whatever he was saying, he said, keep on keeping on. I want y'all to keep on keeping on. You want to go to heaven when you die? Then you got to keep on keeping on. I tell you what, the more you keep on keeping on, the closer you get to Jesus, the happier you're going to be. You know what I've been thinking lately? I was thinking this last night as I was listening to these people sing. Oh, they can sing. I'm so jealous of them. I used to could sing. I used to enjoy my singing. I used to plow in the fields and I'd just sing. I don't know what my neighbors thought about it. I reckon they probably said, if I couldn't do any better than that, I'd just shut up. I just kept singing. I saw yesterday a lady who's been looking after her husband for a long, long time. You know what she told me? She said, I think he's had a stroke lately. I said, but you know, when I go to see him, he won't talk. He said, but he'll talk to me. But now he doesn't talk. But here a while back, we got to singing. And we'd sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And you know, she said, he'll just sing Amazing Grace. I'm talking about Brother Woodrow Little. been lying in that bed for years, seemed like. She looks after him day and night. When I saw her yesterday, she wasn't complaining. She wasn't murmuring. You know why Jesus looks after me day and night? And he never sends me a bill. I go to that mailbox a lot of days, and I get them bills in there. You know them with the window on them? You go to the doctor, and you think the bill is paid. And first thing you know, he sends you a bill. I'm going to tell you, the greatest physician I've ever known has never sent me a bill for anything. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. Jesus washed it white as snow. Now, if I don't sit down, y'all going to accuse me of being a long-winded preacher. I know you. It's all right. Before I sit down, you know what these lights did in this building this morning when you turned them on? It didn't put a thing in this building. It just shined a light on what's already in here. And isn't that light wonderful? A lot of people say they can't sleep at night with a light. I can't sleep without one. I'd have been in trouble back down before electricity come on in the scene. I couldn't have slept. I like a light in my room. So when I get up, you know why I like a light? Because I have stumped my toe before. I've hit it on the bed. And brother, you talk about a tender place, my toe is tender. I hope my heart's tender this morning. I believe y'all's are. Y'all are just smiling. You look like to me you're on candid camera. Just keep on being happy, folks. When it said you can't be happy with all my problems, let me tell you something, folks. Nobody's carried us to a cross yet, happy. Nobody's hung me on a cross. I read sometimes the newspaper, and it is amazing what people do to other people. The horror some people go through by the hand of evil people. They just can't mistreat people enough. Aren't you glad this morning you feel safe at old Cool Springs? We don't need a 38, I don't think. We got Jesus. And if you got Jesus, you've got everything. So if the gospel finds a place in your heart, it's because God's already been there. And the gospel just shines a light on what's already in you. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.